Hello and welcome to Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later in the programme, I'll be looking at the retrofitting of homes. Now, this is a big business with many new job opportunities, and vast sums of money are being spent on making homes more energy efficient. But we begin with a major competition that many Donegal firms have taken part in the past, and in which many have excelled. Entries for Blas na Héireann 2025, the Irish Food Awards, are now open. Blas na Héireann is the largest blind-tasted food awards on the island of Ireland and is designed to recognise and celebrate the very best of Irish food and drink. Well, entries are open to producers across many different categories, and there's also an opportunity for a producer to be awarded in every county with Best in Donegal, supported by the Donegal Local Enterprise Office. Donegal food producers have achieved consistent success at the awards, which are now in their 18th year. And through the Food Coast Donegal initiative, it's an opportunity for the county's producers to grow what is a vibrant local food sector and to showcase Donegal's rich culinary culture. Over the years, Donegal has enjoyed great success at Blas na Héireann, and previous winners include An Dalach Mór Tírinte, Donegal Rapeseed Oil, Filigan's Handmade Preserves, Green Pastures Donegal, McConnell Meats, Natural Dairies and Wild Fuchsia Bakehouse. So, to find out more about this year's awards, the story behind them and the deadline for entries, I've been speaking with Fallon Moore, Event Coordinator. Fallon, many thanks for joining us on Business Matters. The countdown is on to the Blas na Héireann 2025 Irish Food Awards, and as always, big interest in this event. So maybe you can just remind us what these awards are all about and why they are so special and indeed so popular.
Sure, thanks a million for having me. It's fantastic for us. We're heading into another year of the Irish Food Awards, and they were founded so a quality benchmark could be established for Irish food and drink producers all across the island. We were founded by a producer, Artie Clifford, who wanted to see something which could be a level competition for producers from all across the island to have a chance to put their best foot forward with food and drinks and to be recognised for what they do and the work that they do. So we're heading into 18 years of the awards now, and it is the largest blind tasting of food on the island.
And there has always been a significant Donegal representation at the awards, and no doubt this year will be similar again.
I think so. We're really lucky to see support from all across the country taking part. And I know last year we had 8 finalists there from Donegal, some who had been entering for a number of years and some complete newcomers who were there, and really exciting, innovative products that we would have seen coming through for the first time last year as finalists and as winners. There were some fabulous companies that made the journey last year to join us in Dingle for the awards.
Now, tell us a little bit about the I suppose, one of the unique aspects of the awards. It's the biggest blind tasting of produce in the country, and that is a key factor to it all.
It is. It's really important. So for us, everything in the competition comes down to the taste of the product. So our judges are looking at the sample in front of them. They don't know who has made it, where it's come from. So from a producer's point of view, particularly for a new producer or somebody starting out or trialing a new product, they're competing potentially against some of the bigger players, but on a completely level playing field. So for us, we head into a summer now where we undertake the blind tasting, which takes place right across the country. We'll have all of our entries will be delivered in the summer, and we'll have those tasted right through May, June and July to establish who of our finalists will be through to the awards this year.
And worth pointing out, the awards were developed in conjunction with the Food Science Department of UCC.
We worked with them. Artie, who's our founder, knew really that he wanted this to be rooted in science. He was a producer himself, He wanted the awards to have something which could be really rigorous in terms of how we judge, and also to know that we have the backup of the academics. So when we are doing the tasting, you've got people who are working with us on judging who, you know, they're really not just passionate about food, but they're so thorough, and everything can be rooted back into the science of judging as well. So we know that it's a system that we can trust.
And important to point out, it's not just food, it also covers drink.
It does indeed, yeah. So it covers all different categories of food and drinks. We started initially with 36 categories, and we're up with more than 150 different categories, which reflect lots of the different changes and trends across the country. So, I mean, two of the winners and finalists last year from Donegal were coming through in a new category, which was for fermented non-alcoholic drinks. So we had kombuchas coming through. It's really reflecting not just what people are making, what the producers are doing, but it also reflects what we as customers are buying, what we're putting in our basket and on our table.
Yeah, and it's I suppose it's testament to the success of the awards over the years that they've become a household name, and for a lot of people they are instantly recognisable.
They are. We've done studies and it has been proven that the symbol is recognised by customers, but also trusted. They know that if they're picking something up with that symbol, they know first and foremost that it's Irish, but also that it has been tasted amid its category and is the best of the best. And for producers, they will tell us that after reaching the finalist stage, and whether that's that they've achieved a finalist accreditation or a bronze or a silver or a gold, they're telling us that they are seeing an increase in their sales, often of more than 20%.
So just to explain, there are different categories of awards, as you've mentioned there, gold, silver and bronze. So, for example, if you have a company and you've won a silver award, you can use the Blasnaharan logo and say that you have been a silver award winner. And as you mentioned there, it's people are familiar, many people familiar with that little badge, and you can put it on your product, and in turn it does help enhance sales.
That's it. For us, everything about the awards, and it goes back to why Artie founded them. We want to know that it'll make a real business difference to a producer. We want to hear from them the next year and say they've had increased sales, or maybe they've increased somebody's part-time hours to a full-time job. And that for us is the real measure. It's not the piece of glass sitting on the shelf. It has to have done something positive for that business.
And some of the businesses taking part, I mean, we've everything from one-person operations to really big companies that would be employing hundreds, maybe thousands of people.
We do. We see producers at all stages of the business. And for us, it's fantastic to see when a company who, even at a very large stage, is still looking at this and going, I want to be sure to have this unpacked, or I want to compete along with my peers, and to see a smaller producer get a chance to be in that mix and potentially to come down to the awards, which take place in Dingle on the first weekend in October, and be in a situation where they will be engaging with buyers and with journalists and with people in the industry who may be able to move them on to the next level.
Now, naturally enough, there's quite a lot of publicity associated with the awards. So if you win an award, you get great exposure there. Tell us a little bit about the whole entry process. First of all, the deadline is the 15th of May, so it's looming large.
It is indeed. It's coming up quite soon on Thursday, the 15th of May. For producers, the best thing really to do is to go to our website, to go to irishfoodawards.com, and they'll find all of the details there and also their entry process. So at this stage, it really is just getting the form filled out. The other place where they may find more information on it is we are delighted to be supported by Donegal Local Enterprise Office, and I know they have been fantastic in sharing the information with the food and drink producers in Donegal to let them know what's coming up.
And the actual process for entering, does it take long? Do you have to provide samples or photographs, or what way does that actually work?
So the initial stage, what we're working on right now, is entering the paperwork. So just getting the form completed online. It takes a few minutes where a producer will provide us details of their product and their company, And then we get ready to move into the delivery stage. So every product that is entered in the awards will need to be delivered to us for tasting. It happens right throughout the summer, depending on whether somebody has entered breads or drinks or meats with us. They will all have special delivery dates, which tie into having them tasted by the judges at their very best condition. So they'll move from an online form at this stage through into the delivery in the summer.
Now, there is a cost to enter. Does it vary depending on how many products you're entering, or is it per company, or what way does that actually work out?
The entry fee actually is there per product. So it depends on how many entries that producer is making. So a producer can choose to put something in. If they have one particular product that they want to put in, they can choose to put just one entry and keep their entry fees that little bit lower. For others, they might want to submit two or three, but each of those do have an individual fee, because for us on the entry stage, everything is treated completely individually when it moves into the judging stage. Each of those needs an individual entry number for their blind tasting, which essentially is like their passport or their boarding pass, which will move them right through the whole process.
Now, it's in its 18th year. I suspect you've seen sort of trends over the years. There's probably some products and some companies are there every year, and at the same time, there's also newcomers every year.
There is, and we see fantastic innovation in whether it's a trend that, you know, is very recent in the past few years, like some of the kombuchas. These are really something that we're seeing the customers love, and we see more producers move through with. But also you would see categories which might have been quite traditional. So some of the meat categories. Last year there was one of the finalists, and indeed a winner from Donegal, was the McConnell Meats, the smoked brisket. So you would see something which was originally a classic, which is then kind of really tying in with some of those trends for different types of meat, the smoked flavours, and to see some of that advancement and innovation from producers across the country is something we love to see every year. It's always an interesting thing to watch and see what comes in.
Indeed. And in terms of the numbers of entries, you had in the region of 3,000 last year. Is it likely to exceed that, do you think, this time around?
It's looking similar for this year. So we never know until the deadline hits, but it does look like we're going to be in similar numbers for this year. What we'll certainly find, as we do every year, is as we hit that deadline, so coming up on Thursday the 15th of May, we'll see lots of people coming through on the website or giving us a call or sending us a message, because they're right at that last minute skating in. So until that deadline passes, we won't know our final number, but it certainly looks on track to be close to 3,000 or just over.
And when people are going to enter, you have over 170 food and drink categories. Do you have to select just one category, because there could be products that would they be eligible to be in more than one category?
It depends on the product. So sometimes we might see, for example, a producer who was making a gluten-free brownie a number of years ago. They chose to make two entries, to put one into a dietary-specific gluten-free category, but one also into the more mainstream sweet snacks category. And for that producer, they chose to do it because they wanted to, if they were to advance and become a winner in the sweet snacks category, they wanted to be able to say, you know, even in a blind tasting among products which weren't gluten-free, we came through to the finalist stage. So it'll depend on the product. It'll depend on the producer's own strategy as well. What we would always say is if producers are unsure on categories, to get in touch with us. We're a small team, and at this stage we're working completely focused on the entries. So everything that they, you know, are questioning at the moment, if they want to check in with us, we'll be able to guide them on the right category.
Now, the awards themselves are presented in October, and it's not just an evening. It's become basically a weekend in Dingle, all revolving around the Blas na hÉireann Awards.
It has. Well, we're very fortunate to have grown up, I suppose, alongside the Dingle Food Festival. The food festival takes place on the same weekend as the awards, and what we've seen is as the awards have grown, we've spread out from one award ceremony to include now networking, talks, panels. We also have a visitor market area that people can come through and see. And what we've really seen throughout the years, if people are making the time to come down and spend a few days, they know that when they've made the journey to Dingle, which, as you know, if you're coming from Donegal, is not a small journey. We want to be sure that every minute that they have here, they'll get a chance to meet, to engage, to learn something new, whether it's from other producers or potentially from some of the buyers who come and spend time with us for a few days.
And finally, Fallon, just remind us of the main details again. If somebody wants more information, tell us about the website and that deadline day.
So the best place to go to is to irishfoodawards.com before Thursday the 15th of May. We'll be closing the entries at midnight that night. So any questions, get in touch with us before then and let's get that form filled out on time.
And that was Fallon Moore, Event Coordinator at Blas na hÉireann, the Irish Food Awards. You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. The government's Home Energy Upgrade Loan Scheme marked its first anniversary recently. And coinciding with this, Electric Ireland Superhomes has launched a new retrofit hub on the My Home website, offering advice and guidance on everything you need to retrofit your home. Now, according to the Central Statistics Office, of the 1.2 million unique dwellings that have received a BER, that's a Building Energy Rating Audit, since 2009, only 31% have achieved an A or B rating. In effect, it means that the vast majority of Irish homes could be much more energy efficient. So let's delve into this topic in a little bit more detail. David Flannery is Head of Strategy and Corporate Development at Electric Ireland Superhomes. A graduate of the University of Limerick, he has over 20 years of expertise in home energy retrofitting, low energy construction and sustainable housing development. Now focused on strategy, he plays a key role in shaping initiatives that drive energy efficiency improvements. David, welcome to Business Matters here on Highland Radio. It's great to have you on as we discuss a topic that is of interest to many, many householders. And could we begin perhaps by just discussing the whole term retrofitting and just what exactly it entails?
Great to join you today and get a chance to talk about retrofit throughout the country, maybe a little bit about the locality there and in the Northwest as well. So retrofit, I guess, means we're all familiar with the term upgrade, and that would have been very prevalent prior to a couple of years ago. And retrofit, really, it's about the idea of doing multiple measures at the same time. So rather than doing it incrementally and getting small improvements, and again, having to go through the hassle each time of applying for grant funding and sourcing contractors. What the government is doing through the One Stop Shop program and SEI is implementing is to discover ways that you can and to incentivize you to do multiple measures at the same time. And that's what we call retrofit. But the benefits of retrofit is, well, I guess it's a bit of a changing room scenario where as long as you do the right planning involved, the right calculations, and you choose whatever fits into your budget, is that when you do get stuck into the work itself, you can achieve a big improvement on your BER and also your comfort and your the quality of air indoors as well is a major factor these days as well. So retrofit brings together a lot of the technologies that we already know, you know, like heat pump, insulation in particular, solar PV, ventilation, air tightness. So put them together into a package then that is designed for your home. And every home is different. And I guess when we talk about some of the broad grants and the broad ways in which you can improve your home, whether through upgrades or retrofits, it's important to remember that everyone's home is different and that advice that you get in around your retrofit is always going to be particular to your home, your budget and your needs.
And given that it's an area that is a sector that is growing so quickly at the moment, I take it there's a lot of jobs being created in this area of employment as well.
Well, the signals have been strong for a long time that this is an enduring program that enjoys cross-party support. For those of us who have been working in retrofit and energy upgrades for a long time, this is exactly what we're looking for, which is a really strong signal that, you know, 500,000 homes in this country have to be upgraded to a B2 or better. we need to do that for lots of reasons, fuel security, also EU fines, so forth as well. So there's a broad commitment to doing that. And what that's doing is sending the signal to people in the construction industry to maybe divert some of the resources over to retrofit, and also then for people who are considering careers in the industry, the sector as well, is that, you know, we can put together training courses and college courses that sort of fit the needs then of what the sector requires as well. So that kind of lateral thinking is very much you're welcome. But we're still at the, not so much the start of it, but there's a lot of work to be done in terms of bringing that together into a service that, that really meets the needs of people. There's a few elements to it which we now see coming together, which is better financing, low cost loans, and better grant funding as well. So again, it gives a lot of confidence to the sector that this is something that's long term.
So the government has introduced a number of incentives. There is a somewhat of a helping hand there for people to upgrade their homes. Now, explain to us, for those people who aren't familiar, the term BER, and it's something that you have to have on your home if you're going to sell it. Just to elaborate as to what it is and the importance of it.
Well, your BERs are your building energy ratings. Essentially what it is, it's your projected energy use over the course of a year. So for something that's a D1, a home that's a D1, it would be projected to consume a certain amount of kilowatts over the course of the year based on what the assessor knows about your heating system, your information and so forth. It's ambivalent to how the house is actually run, which is interesting. So you'll often come across people, and it's true that, you know, their actual BER might be low, but their bills are quite low because they don't heat the house too much. And likewise, if you're a part of a six-person family in a high BER rating, your bills may still be quite high because the BER doesn't take into account how the house is run or indeed how many people are in it. But it's a really clear indication of how well-performing it is. There's another element to that as well, Chris, which is the heat loss indicator. And without, I suppose, getting too technical on it, that really means your insulation. So the BER is important, but your level of insulation, it's hugely important, obviously, no matter how efficient your heating system or is, you want to keep that heat in your home as much as possible. So they're the two things that we look at, a BER and your heat loss indicator. And they combine the two of those and you reach those standards and you can have a very good home as a result. Across the country, there's a national BER database that shows us what the level of BER is throughout the country. And we can see different areas and how they compare with the national average. There's quite a lot of people still, 27 to 30%, who are in that E, F, and G range. And when your house is in that level of a BER, then your bills are going to be high and comfort is going to be low as well. So they're the ones that we really want to look at tackling first because we see the biggest improvements in those homes.
So looking at those figures for nationally, we're talking about 31% of homes have this BER A or B rating. So they're pretty energy efficient. But if we take Donegal, just 9% had an A rating in the audit carried out by the CEO over that dates back, I think, to 2009. So bringing us right up to date from then to the most recent figures. And then we had in B1, B2, B3, I'm just looking here, 2%, 3%, 7%. So Donegal would be lagging behind a little bit in terms of those figures.
It would be behind the national average. And I guess when we crunch those figures, there's a lot of new homes in there, you know, or newish homes in there that would obviously have a higher BER. But when you look at Donegal, in the region of 34,000 homes with a BER, so 27% will have an A or a B compared to something similar nationwide. So that's on a par. I guess where the eye is drawn is to that level of E, F, or G, which is 24% of homes which have a BER fall into that bracket. And that's quite a lot more than the 19%, which is averaged out throughout the rest of the country. So it would show that there's a lot of work to do in, you know, a good part of the housing stock there.
Now, a lot of people, this might be a little bit of a minefield in terms of getting information. And in this regard, Electric Ireland Superhomes and My Home have announced a partnership to launch a dedicated retrofit hub on the website myhome.ie. So that's a useful maybe first step for people to look at, because there's a lot of information out there. But if you're not familiar with it, maybe it's difficult for people to decide, you know, what's the best road to go down.
there's a huge amount of information there, and I suppose there's also been a lot of education from FBI in relation to what the grants are, what the stepping stones are, what the pathway is in order to retrofit your home or energy upgrade your home. So we sat down with myhome.ie earlier in the year and said, look, what are the types of things that people would like to find out about, and what's the best way to describe them? You know, we don't want to make things overly technical. We want to explain it, the possible solution for people in such a way is that it makes sense. Ultimately, when you're looking at your own home and you're choosing which way to go, there's a bit of time commitment in that. So what we first off tried to do is give you a signpost as to what's feasible. And a lot of them will come down to budget. In other words, you can get a home energy assessment and you can look at a retrofit, but if you haven't got the budget there at that particular time, you might want to look elsewhere. So the hub is, brings together not just advice on the direction of the front end, but also what the grants are, what the finance options are. It has interesting, it's an interesting resource in relation to traditional homes. So plenty of homes in the Donegal area would have a traditional variety as well that would require a different approach than if it was a newer home, and not to mention the DCB scheme as well. So when you navigate your way through the retrofit hub and you can select the type of home that you have and the type of upgrade or retrofit that's probably going to suit that, there's actually a stepping stone to talking to one of our retrofit advisors through a free consultation. You can take that initial knowledge and you can bring that into a conversation. So a bit of education about what the opportunities are, talk to a retrofit advisor from our side as well, and then you'll start to discover what's feasible for your home and what your pathway is.
And a lot of people will be wondering, how much do I need to put up front? Most people will say, yes, I certainly want to improve my home. I would love to do some retrofitting, but I don't have a lot of disposable income at the moment. So in terms of grants, what sort of grants are out there at the moment?
There's grants across both single measure upgrade and the retrofit one-stop shop. So you mentioned the retrofit one-stop shop is doing a combination of measures, which you can still look at if your budget is low at the moment. You can still identify the areas that are going to make the biggest bang for your buck. And then we look at things like attic insulation and wall insulation if you have a cavity wall that can be pumped. Well, now that makes perfect sense to do that. And we look at the most cost-effective measures. And there isn't a huge amount of people that haven't upgraded their attic insulation. 300 mil, that's 12 inches. But if they haven't done that, there's great grants there to do that, which pretty much cover most of the cost. So what you can choose to do is you can choose to do the big bang retrofit all at once, find out how much that costs and what the grants are for that. But you can also do measure by measure, build it up over time, make incremental improvements with a long-term pathway in mind. So there's grants there for everyone, for every home. It's just a question really of getting the right advice about which to select. There's what the government and SAI have done is they've taken some of the pain points out of that investment. So it's still a considerable investment to do a serious retrofit in your home. But what's new over the last couple of years from the one-stop shop is the grants are deducted up front. Okay, so that's not something you have to cash flow. So that's a big improvement. And also we have the SEBI loan, which means you can draw down funding above the 75,000 at rates of in around 3%. While the overall cost might be still relatively high for a retrofit, there's quite a bit of help at the front end in managing that.
And what about firms who are engaged or self-employed people who are engaged in this whole sector? Is there going to be a shortage of skilled labour to carry out all these jobs? Because we've touched on there everything from insulation, heating systems, windows, renewable energy solutions. It's quite a wide spectrum. Are there enough people coming through who have the knowledge and the skills to help meet what we expect is going to be in increased demand in the years to come?
Well, that's a real challenge. And I guess the fact that there's been a slow enough start on the 500,000 home species target has meant that it hasn't had the same pressure on those skills that would otherwise be the case, perhaps But we've also got another thing going on at the moment as well, which is the construction boom as well. So there is pressure in the trade. But from the start of a project, from planning a project, design, the whole way to securing a contract and completion, the work, that's never been quicker than it is now. There's been huge improvements in there, in that timeline. But there's no pressure there. But over time, obviously, if we start looking at those bigger targets, we're really going to have to step up to the plate, training people and diverting people over from other parts of the industry. But that will be dictated by the amount of people who take up the grant scheme and the amount of homeowners who it's best interest in.
Is there a big variation from one county to another in terms of how many people are currently availing of grants? Do we know that?
There is a breakdown, and it's not usually different to what the sort of population expectations might be. A lot of activity in retrofit and construction, generally speaking, around Dublin, the broader Leinster area, and also through the cities as well. But the figures would show that retrofit has been taken up across the country, and that stretches from north to south of the country.
Right. And also now My Home has a specific tool there for homeowners on the website, and its eco rating feature. You've noticed there's been a huge take up in the amount of people who are certainly looking at that since it went online.
Indeed. And the cost of the energy performance of your home when you're looking to buy one and when you're in the market and shopping around, but that was going to become more important. Obvious reasons for that. In the same way that you would bring a structural engineer and get their report about what would need to be done to a home you're considering buying, because you'd have to factor out the cost, you'd have to finance it. The same is now increasingly true for the BER rating. So people are now working out, well, what's the value of this home to me while I still have to bring it up to the BER rating? And they're getting prices for that. They're factoring that into their decision-making, and that's reflected in the market. There was an article in The Independent a couple of weeks ago which showed that an A or B rated house can fetch up to 105,000 more on the market compared to a much lower BER rated home. And what's also true there is a home that has a good BER, usually well looked after, and what are the factors that might be driving that price difference. But nonetheless, that's now being priced into the market. If you're not pricing into the market, it's been priced in for you. So it's a serious business when choosing a home, and particularly as well because there's better interest rate as a B2 for a green mortgage as well. So there's obvious interest in that. My Home have been able to show through their software what the sort of estimated cost of bringing it up to a standard that you're going to be happy with. And people are factored that into the decision-making process more and more.
Yeah, and I see there was a My Home sentiment survey of over 1,000 house hunters, and more than half of them considering a property's eco rating as a key priority when buying a home, as you've touched on there. And one suspects that figure will just continue to rise.
Indeed, 51% out of 1,000 house hunters were very keenly aware that the BER was important. But again, they probably stress that even for those that maybe aren't attuned to that fact, the market is pricing it in. Again, people's understanding and focus on BERs is only going to grow.
Yeah, and we hear a lot about the rising cost of houses and the rising construction costs. And one factor is the fact that the homes that are being built are so much more energy efficient. So that's a consequence of having a better product after it is built.
If you walk into, if you have an experience and you walk into a new home or a home that's been recently retrofitted, you can feel the difference instantly. We're creatures of habit and experience in Ireland, so there's nothing like experience a well-insulated, energy-efficient home that sort of feels good and healthy as well, in order to give us a bit of inspiration to do the same thing ourselves.
The grants and the assistance there, is there a European aspect to this? Because we're probably, again, a little bit behind the curve compared to a lot of our European neighbours and particularly the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah, absolutely true. And they would have had a culture of insulation, energy efficiency built in a long time ago. So they're just continuing that trend. You know, their housing stock has always been, Scandinavia in particular, and we look at heat pumps there, that's a technology that's been there 30 or 40 years, successfully powering hundreds of thousands, millions of homes, in fact. So we have a lot of catch-up to do. Obviously, in this country, there was a time in which we didn't pay much attention to insulation at all, and we're paying the price for that in terms of our energy use and our bills. But on the other hand, we do have a great opportunity in this country to bring our housing stock up. But while there's good models elsewhere, there's no doubt that the model we're looking here, the one-stop shop, though take-up has, hasn't been what we expected it to be. That model itself, though, which is about providing support the whole way through the process, right from the start to the end, professionally and financially, means that there is a really good model there for people to follow. Of course, prices are expensive in this country, and the grants go a long way towards, some way, towards ameliorating that and making that a bit more palatable. There's a bit more work to be done on the overall package. But we have a good model there that people can plug into. That's very successful. And delivering very good quality homes as well, because that's another thing in the country. We haven't had a great history in the construction industry of new build, of really good codes and, enforcement of that. That's improving. But the most inspected and sort of rigorously studied scheme in the country is the one-stop shop scheme. So while it might cost a little more to do it as a major retrofit, you can be absolutely assured by the end of it that numerous inspections and quality assurance means that you're going to get what you paid for. And the big, most important thing there, once you do that, you don't have to go and do it again for another 20 or 30 years. There's peace of mind there as well.
Yeah, and one other point that maybe something that people will also ask, is there a lot of red tape? Is the process fairly straightforward to do?
Well, that's our business, right? So we do that behind the scenes, the one-stop shop. So for Electric Ireland Super Homes, what we do is we look after all of that engagement from the grants. We look after the contract work and two of other one-stop shops there as well. So the model is set up to make it as easy as possible for you.
And that was David Flannery, Head of Strategy and Corporate Development at Electric Ireland Super Homes. By the way, you can go for more information about that to the retrofit hub on myhome.ie to learn all about the benefits of retrofitting and how to create a more sustainable and energy efficient home. Now, before we go, just to remind you that the Donegal Women in Business Network is holding its annual countywide coffee morning on Friday, May the 16th. It's a chance for people to come together in a relaxing environment for a chat, and who knows what leads could be generated. Open to members and non-members, there are a number of venues. In Letterkenny, it'll be the Century Cinema Complex. In Dunloe, it'll be at the Waterfront Hotel. In Buncrana, the venue is Inishowen Innovation on St. Oran's Road, and all three are from 10 to 11 a.m. In Donegal Town, the 55 Cafe in the Donegal Town Business Park is the location, and the coffee morning will be from 11 to 12 noon. To book your place, you can contact the Donegal Women in Business Network or go to its social media pages for links, and some locations have a limit in terms of numbers attending. Finally, the local enterprise office is hosting an in-person business support clinic in Killybegs on Friday the 23rd of May from 10 o'clock, and you can register through the local enterprise office. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. As always, may I wish you a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.